Jim Ross is my guest on Interview Thursday here at PW Torch Livecast on Thursday, April 21st, 2016. Jim, I know you dealt with Joni a lot on a professional level behind the scenes. You also observed her as a performer and called her matches. My first question for you, and I could start anywhere, but my first question is, what was her contribution on air to the Attitude Era? Because one thing I'm seeing last night and today among fans of hers is there's people who this many years later, you know, more than a decade and a half later since her departure, really feel passionately and have very distinct memories of her. And I think it's at a higher level than most performers who had the span of time on TV that she did.
Well, obviously she was extremely unique in as much as that she was her gender was unique in how the role she played in the Attitude Era. There was no female in WWE that played a bigger role in the Attitude Era Foundation than Joni Lauer. There was few men that superseded her contributions to the Attitude Era than she did, because again, the being a female and in a real you know, brazen man's world in the TV-14 era of WWE, she fulfilled a very unique role. So I can't think of anybody that I've encountered in my 40-plus year career of her gender that could have impacted the Attitude Era as positively as Joni did. So probably her contributions in that amazing period of time for that made great stars, made people millionaires, and facilitated the company WWE going from a private company with some financial issues to a very healthy publicly traded company. You know, she had a major role in that whole situation, and probably you know, and it's sad that now we're talking about it in these terms, when it would have made her so happy to hear us talk about that while she was alive.
Yeah. And when she was alive, a lot in recent years, when she made news, wasn't the kind of news that reflected positively on her time on the air. You know, she had issues both with Sean Waltman and Triple H. Her public conduct and fulfilling obligations in terms of planned dates. Just heard another story last night on Twitter from somebody very recently having issues with that. Her conduct and demeanor on some of her YouTube videos. I mean, she was troubled. I mean, you know, to be honest, I'm not going to sugarcoat the fact that she had trouble, Jim, dealing with fame when it happened and dealing with the fallout of not being in that same position in that peak era of the Attitude Era. And it was at times difficult to watch.
It was. And certainly she was not the only person that ever had issues dealing with falling from grace, so to speak, and the fame and the fortune of a career. You know, but she stood out because again, she was unique.
Yeah.
And she was bigger than life in a lot of ways. You know, I can just tell you that, you know, I had so many long conversations with her, especially the last several months that she was in WWE. And then recently I had re-engaged her in conversations because we were talking, just touching base, giving her some words of encouragement, letting her know that, you know, we're happy for her trying to get her life in order. And we were also talking about her coming on and doing my podcast, probably a two-parter. And she was very excited about that and looking forward to it. We were only waiting till after WrestleMania to focus on that. And we were narrowing down the dates, and it was going to happen. But, you know, obviously now it's an impossibility. But I just think that, you know, she was a very kind-hearted, gentle soul. And people say, "Well, how can you come to that conclusion?" Well, because I knew her differently than somebody just knowing her as a television character. I knew her differently as somebody that saw her on TMZ or on the Howard Stern Show or something along those lines. I had when you get those opportunities to really connect with someone on a personal level, as I did with her and a lot of talents. That was how I managed the talent roster. It was more of an athletic environment and not a casting call where they were treated as athletes, not actors. And most of them really embrace that positioning. So I just know that Joni, I wrote a piece early this morning for Fox Sports. It'll be up later today. But Joni wanted normalcy. Joni wanted a relationship. Joni wanted to be loved. Joni wanted to have some sort of normalcy that she did not experience as a child and as a young adult. And she always strived for that. I don't know that just being a star, not being a star anymore, was as important. The void in her life of relationships and being truly loved by somebody and having a relationship that she could build on, and she didn't have that. And I know that that was one of the things that was strongly missing in her life, and she wanted normalcy. And so, and unfortunately, seemingly anyway, she didn't find that. But she was not out of the woods, Wade, on her issues, but she was certainly much better than she had been in a long time. And I was even keeping in contact with her when she was in Japan teaching English. We followed each other on Twitter, and we direct messaged each other a lot. We finally exchanged phone numbers, and we had some really fun interactions over the last several months because I could see her getting better. And one of the things that got her better, you could tell her getting better, was the fact that she had found her sense of humor again. And she has always had a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
A real Renaissance woman. You know, she spoke fluent French. She spoke German. She had a college degree. She could play the cello. She was a violinist. Obviously had a great knowledge of nutrition and exercise. She had a lot of great things going for her. But, like anybody else in entertainment and sports, bad situations with alcohol and drugs can make you very, very average and can really compound issues that you may harbor anyway. So I was just really shocked yesterday. I just didn't want to believe it again. You know, I thought, well, maybe it's erroneous information. And I wanted to make sure it was confirmed by multiple sources before I even ventured to go with it, so to speak. But even getting up this morning, it's hard to believe that. You know, I thought she was on her way back to where she wanted to be, and we don't know what caused it. You know, this could be something as simple as sleep apnea. We don't know. We have no idea. She died in her sleep, obviously. That's how they found her in bed, so one would assume in bed she was sleeping. So if that's the case, there could be a lot of things, you know. And being a sufferer of severe sleep apnea myself, if it goes undiagnosed, you can certainly have your heart can say, that's it, I'm tapping out. In the middle of the night, and it's a little deal where, oh, so-and-so died peacefully in their sleep. So who knows what she died from? We'll know it eventually at some point. But it could be something as simplistic as sleep apnea. It could be something as simplistic as an accidental overdose. Who knows? But the sad part is that she's gone.
It is. It is very sad. I mean, the public image that she had since leaving WWE is part of the conversation, and should be. But and the details that you're providing, having stayed in touch with her recently, is fantastic. I mean, it shows what a complex person she was, and that there was like Renaissance woman. I think that's the term that you used there. There was so much going on when she was in the WWF at the beginning, and then at her peak, and then at her departure. How did fame and the pressure that went with that, the money and attention that went with that, change who she was or how she conducted herself?
Well, she migrated to and conducted herself to star level.
Yeah.
She was happy being a star. She seemed to enjoy the opportunities that being a featured player presented. She certainly had some amazing years there at WWE earnings-wise. She was paid for her contributions, not for her gender. But, you know, she didn't get a reduced payoff at events because she was a woman and not a man. That was not something I adhered to. She was a star, and I don't care what her gender was, she was a star. She had made major contributions. We used to playfully argue about the validity of her intergender wrestling activities because I was never a big fan of it.
Yeah.
But I didn't hate it. I just wasn't a big fan of it. You know, of course, in the wrestling business, when you say something like that, you know, it's always manifests itself. Well, JR he was not an advocate of Joanie's because he didn't like intergender wrestling, which is really ignorant for someone to even assume. I didn't personally like intergender wrestling, but it didn't affect my calling of her matches. It didn't affect anything that we did. It's just something that I wouldn't have personally done. And you know, I kept lobbying for her to compete in the female in the women's division, and she finally did at WrestleMania 17. She won the women's title from Ivory, and you know, we kind of tried to tell her, you know, hey, you could be like the Hulk Hogan of you know, your big baby face, the flag bearer of your area, so your division. But she really wanted to compete with men because she felt like that was fit more her physical profile. But you know, she handled fame well. She was a great representative in meet and greets and things of that nature. I found that Joanie had a real soft spot for children, and whether maybe it's because she may have thought in her mind that she would never be a mom, I don't know. But you can ask any of the guys that brought their kids to events, or any of the women that brought their kids to WWE events in the locker room area, catering, so forth. You're not going to find anybody that won't tell you that Joanie was absolutely wonderful to children.
Yeah.
And she had a soft place for kids. So she had great qualities, but she had really a lousy hand dealt her as the parents that she had. It was a challenging situation with stepfathers and allegations of abuse here, there, and yon, and you know, family, you know, disenfranchised and all that till you know during that period. But she really wanted to be normal, and she knew that her look was never going to facilitate complete normalcy, including the fact that she got a softer look when she had her jaw realigned and the surgery, because she was out for a while getting that surgery. But she wanted to have a more feminine, softer side, and she felt like that surgery would help facilitate that, and it did to a large degree. It made her a lot more photogenic. It made her more acceptable to some taste of what a woman should look like, which I don't necessarily agree with that either. But she's always had a great heart. She's smart, but she really was sensitive. And she was.
Yeah.
I know when she left WWE, it was not the most most pleasant of departures, but it was pretty much mutually agreed that was probably the only decision that we could come to that made sense for everybody involved, was for her to, when her contract expired, to, you know, explore other options, and that's what she did. But that was a decision that she and I made together, you know, after we discussed it, because she realized that staying in WWE, or trying to stay in WWE, considering, you know, all the issues with her social life and the breakup of her longtime relationship with Triple H and so forth, it was going to be very challenging. So the logical decision was, well, let's see what time does this scenario, and you got other things you want to do. And she had made a lot of money. She probably was the first female in wrestling history to earn a seven-figure year.
Yeah.
So she did really well, and I'm happy I got to work with her. I really am. You know, she was brand new and naive and young, and she didn't trust a lot of people in the beginning. It was important for me and my role to develop some trust with her at a line of communication. I thought we did that well, and you know, it was unfortunate the circumstances that arose that helped her exit. But I think even at that time, considering that she really didn't care about wrestling women, that the intergender thing had kind of run its course, there was somewhat of a creative impasse that needed to be addressed that she understood and we understood. So then you add the other aspects to her scenario, and it really made a lot of sense for her to explore other options. And, you know, nobody thought that, hey, look, she was the most cleanest eating, healthiest. She didn't drink. She ate clean as anybody on the roster, cleaner than 95% of people, quite frankly. So I didn't really fully fathom her becoming unraveled, so to speak, after she left, and going into a situation where drugs and alcohol were a bigger part of her life than it had ever been, especially considering that she was not a she didn't imbibe. She was just very clean. There's no issues there whatsoever. But you know, you never know what's in somebody's head. So you know, I was just hoping that these last few months that she was turning a corner and getting back to where she wanted to be. And so yesterday's her passing was just completely a shocker.
One of the themes that I've noticed in the last 12-plus hours is a lot of people blame WWE and Triple H and Stephanie specifically for her career as it had been coming to an end. And you can speak to it with more authority and objectivity, I believe, than anybody that I will have a chance to ask this question of. Had Joni Lauer never had a relationship with Triple H, would that absence of that, would the absence of that issue be enough for her to have resolved the creative differences and other issues that were going on that led to her departure? Do you think she would have worked out a deal to stay around if it weren't for the awkwardness and the difficulty of being around Hunter specifically as he gained executive power and was at that time now dating Stephanie instead of her?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, the conversations we had, she really had aspirations to do other things. She, you know, saw herself as kind of a Linda Carter, Wonder Woman type persona with those opportunities that, you know, she hoped that would manifest themselves. She had a movie career in her mind as an action, a female action adventure star. And quite frankly, you know, she made a good case for that. Talking to her about it, you know, there was really nobody in that role that was dominating the Hollywood scene. You know, the whole action adventure genre. You know, you got a couple of guys getting long in the tooth and Stallone and Arnold. So you know that whole area was kind of void. As we've seen, The Rock has pretty well taken over that, and then Steve Austin had a little cup of coffee with that area as well. You know, and he just didn't like making movies. He likes doing reality shows. So, but Rock has found his way in that whole area. She thought that she could be the female equivalent of a Schwarzenegger or a Stallone, you know, an action adventure star. And so she was very interested in pursuing that. And then, you know, and had talked to me about, you know, maybe I could just do WWE part-time. And so it just seemed like that the part-time gigs are very hard to balance creatively and otherwise. So it seemed like it's smart that, considering the issues of the day, that she probably would be better off taking a sabbatical and then, you know, reevaluating the situation at a later date, which is something we talked about pretty much. So I think that anybody that's going to blame Triple H and Stephanie for this situation is really narrow-minded and really they're just looking for some knee-jerk something to lash out at. It just makes no sense. We can't as a society continue to blame everybody else for our own maladies. We can't. Somewhere along the way, people got to look in the mirror and take responsibility for the mistakes that they make, and then know that there's a way to rebound. So I don't think that's that deal whatsoever. There's been a lot of wrestling relationships that have gone awry, and you know, people can work through them, choose to work through them or not. But I, to say that Triple H and or Stephanie had anything to do with this, contributed to it, is, I think, a little bit, it's so far-fetched, it's almost embarrassing to speak of.
One more question on China, then we'll take some calls and emails and likely switch subjects to some other matters that we had originally planned to speak about. But, Jim, I really appreciate you sharing your insights on China. I mean, the timing of having you on the program worked out well in that regard. I'm glad that you're able to paint a more complete picture of Joni Lauer than I think a lot of people could, given your dealings with her, not only during her rise to fame, her departure from WWE, but also having been in touch with her recently. One issue that bothers people who are fans of China is that she's not in the Hall of Fame. I'm of the belief that she would be in the Hall of Fame and would have given a speech at a podium by now, even having been the ex of Triple H. And even with the pornography, the sex tape in her background, had she been able to conduct herself in a more steady way behind the scenes and in public. I think that Triple H gets heat for what he said about, well, if we give her attention, kids are going to look up on the internet and see something they shouldn't see. I don't know that that was the best answer to give, but I also think I'm guessing, I admit that I'm guessing, but I kind of think Hunter was trying to avoid saying things that weren't in public in terms of why that just wasn't a good idea to insert her back into the limelight of the Hall of Fame and the pressure and the unpredictability that might come along with that. So, I mean, I have mixed feelings on how that was handled. But what are your thoughts on the Hall of Fame and really the sadness that there won't be that chance now for her to get in that place with WWE where she can have that moment of recognition?
Well, I still think that the opportunity for her to have the moment of recognition and for her fans to be able to celebrate her career exists. Obviously,
Yeah.
it's unfortunate that she won't be able to accept the honor in person.
Yep.
I think that you hit the nail on the head. Is that I don't know. Her Hall of Fame issues to me had nothing to do with her previous her relationships. None. I believe that you hit the nail on the head. Is that when she got to a place that she could was controlling herself in public, and she was not having these issues, that were not readily acceptable in public behavior, that she would have been welcomed into the Hall of Fame. I just think it was a matter of her getting to that place. And quite frankly, that's a very going to the Hall of Fame is it's got a mixed bag. It's funny how everybody says the WWE Hall of Fame means nothing. A lot of people do, but then we always talk about it. It's like it's a measuring stick. It's we want it to be the way. It's like if you're not in, then and you're being spurned for whatever reason, then it's less meaningful. If you're in there, and you're happy about it, but sometimes people make an issue that, well, it's not that big a deal. It's political. It's a popularity contest. What's the criteria? Blah blah blah. I think if Joanie would have been definitely in the Hall of Fame, is it once she got past the point she wanted to be. She wanted to get healthier. She wanted to get better. She wanted to have normalcy. I can't stress that enough. She wanted normalcy, and she didn't know how to find normalcy. And she was in a very she. That's why she was doing these autograph things and these appearances for. I mean, she did an appearance not too long ago for my friend Dan McDevitt in the Maryland Championship Wrestling. And she was not a high dollar, high ticket item. She knew that she had to rebuild her reputation, and she was getting monies for appearances that were pale in comparison to what one would assume she would get. But she had to rebuild the trust in the promoters and the public and so forth. So she was trying to get there, and I think once she had arrived there, whenever there would have happened, that she would have been in the WWE Hall of Fame without question. I just think that it was for her own good. She needed to not have all the pressure and all the fixation because she talked about it a lot. That was a big thing for her to be to get to the in the WWE Hall of Fame because she knew that if she got inducted, it meant that she would have had accomplished the goal of getting cleaner and more sober without question.
Yep. And that just is a requirement. I mean, there's a subjectivity to the timing and the inclusion of somebody in the Hall of Fame. But one thing that is not subjective or optional is if you're alive and able, you show up at the Hall of Fame to accept the award. And I just don't think WWE had confidence that that would go well. And I think that played
And nor
a huge
should they.
part.
Would I would not. Excuse me. I would not have
Yeah.
had this. I would not have had that level of comfort either. I don't know that you would.
Yeah.
People are responsible business people. You've got to take that in consideration. I looked at, and here's what I always told her: I look at the Hall of Fame as your goal. That's what you know that your body of work has certainly earned you the distinction of being in the WWE Hall of Fame without question. There's no doubt in that. But the other issue, the other side of the coin is, from the journey you've been on, you got to retrace your steps a little bit and get to where you want to be, get back to where you want that normalcy, Joni. So once you accomplish your goal, then one of the benefits of your goal will be achieving your goal is going to be Hall of Fame, in my view. That was my take on it. So I just think that was the reason the Hall of Fame was such a paramount thing for her, was because she knew that if she ever got to that level, that she would have made it back to a very comfortable level of sobriety. And I think that's what she longed for. Again, a woman that was very extraordinary, that was very unique, simply wanted to be loved and to be normal.